How are you guys doing this morning? Quiet? Good? Good, I'm glad. I've heard a couple goods. Hopefully, mostly goods. I swear I'm not texting any of you. But I should set a timer for everybody's benefit here, for my voice and for your ears. So welcome to Cedar Creek Community Church. Thanks for coming this morning. It's really fun to see everybody out on these cold, blustery, windy, cool days. I woke up this morning, there was a dusting on the porch, and I was like, it's really coming. Got to get those gutters cleaned again, you know, just before that heavy snowfall comes. Yesterday morning, we were in the cities at the regional meeting and going through the emotionally healthy spirituality, and I woke up and our minivan's usually parked in the garage, so we don't have our scrapers out yet. And so we woke up, and there was like a half inch of ice. And so my boys always carry walking sticks. And so I was scraping the windows off with a old, ratty wooden stick. That was fun. Earlier this week, it's probably for you guys fall cleanup time. Earlier this week, Don Breedle and Jim Myers and I were wood chipping that back pile in the back. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it was like 50, 60 feet deep and like 30, 40 feet wide. And it was taller than me, and it took us about 4 hours. We got the whole thing chipped up, so hopefully we're going to have some wood chips to move in the spring for our kids' area. That's pretty fun. Anyways, so we are in the second week of the Sabbath series, and hopefully I'll be finishing that up today, and hopefully I watch this stopwatch I've got going here. So we're going into our second week on the Sabbath series, and we're going to be talking about the practical applications of it. And Emily and I have been studying and learning about incorporating a Sabbath practice into our lives, and we've been learning a lot about it. And what I've found is that it's really revolutionized kind of the way I go throughout the week. By spending a 24-hour period of time kind of focusing on a few different things, it helps me throughout the week to have those in mind. And not, so the Sabbath isn't just this idea of, you know, do something for 24 hours and get it over with and then move on with the rest of your week, carry on like normal, but it really starts to sculpt and mold your heart. And so I'm beginning through the transforming of my mind, through studying Scripture and by studying books written by other men who have really studied that topic specifically, beginning to see this practice shape and change me. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to dig back into that Sabbath practice and that rhythm of life that we're created for and see kind of what does that look like. So before we dig in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for this morning. I'm grateful for safe travels yesterday. I am grateful for the changing of the seasons and seeing your beauty in that. And I'm grateful for what you're doing in my life with this Sabbath rhythm. And I'm grateful that through Scripture you transform and change us. And I just pray that this morning you would be speaking, that your truth would be reigning through, and that you just help us all ultimately just grow closer to you, God, that you be glorified and we would be built up in your Son's image. So we lift this morning up for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about the Sabbath, and we spent the entire 40 minutes discussing and showing in Scripture how we were created for this rhythm in our lives, this idea where we work for 6 days and we rest for the seventh. And we saw in Genesis 1 and 2, and we saw in the Exodus account of the Ten Commandments and the Deuteronomy account of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath command. And we saw in the creation account that God worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh as an example for us on how we ought live our lives. And so we looked at how we as humans were created for this rhythm. We were created for this working 6 days and then resting, having a Sabbath day and keeping it holy. And then last week, we also defined the word Sabbath. So that was really important so that we had this clear idea of what this word means. And we looked at the root word of Sabbath. Now, Sabbath is two B's. We looked at the root word, which is Shavath. And we looked at the literal translation of that, how it's to cease from exertion, to stop, to make to fail, to rest, to still oneself, to rid yourself, to take away, to celebrate. And we looked at that, and then we looked at the definition of Sabbath. We saw Shavuot is these things, and Sabbath is an intermission. It's a period of time. And we kind of talked a little bit about, like, in a movie, we have an intermission. And so we'll watch a movie for hour and a half, and then we'll take a break. We'll take a break, and we'll get up and stretch our muscles because we're getting cramped. We'll get a snack. We'll refill that popcorn. We'll drain our bladder. Whatever it is that we have developed that need in that time frame, we'll stop, and we'll take a rest. So we saw the root word of Shavuot is to stop, to rest, to contemplate, delight, to celebrate. And then we saw that is for a set period of time. It's for an intermission. And then last week, we also talked about the ditches that we can end up in as we discuss this concept of the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. We discussed the ditch of, well, it's unnecessary in my life. This isn't something I actually really need. It's irrelevant. It's archaic. It's something that the Pharisees did and argued about. And really, I don't need that. I can work for 7 days. I don't need rest. And so we can end up in this ditch of, if I don't need to rest, this is irrelevant. This is unnecessary. This isn't something that God is calling me to do. And then the other ditch is to take this concept of the Sabbath and do what the Pharisees did with it and create this huge legalistic checklist, a burden that we put on ourselves and that we put on the people around us that we have to carry, a weight we have to carry. We have to do these specific things and not do these specific things on this day of rest. And so we talked about how we don't want to end up in either of the ditches, the ditch of it's irrelevant and I don't even want to think about this, to this legalistic checklist. And so now I personally, I've spent most of my life in the, it's irrelevant, it's unnecessary. Some of my friends, we talk about this, I've lived in this ditch of disregard and how I have this motto, well, I'll rest when I'm dead. There's too much to do. But through scripture, through reading various other sources, I've been learning about how this practice isn't just some archaic, pharisaical, old way of thinking, but it's actually really necessary and important for our lives, for our everyday lives, so that we can be rested and carry on through the week in a healthy way. And so through all of that, I've been learning. I'm learning. And I'm learning that this practice of the Sabbath is a key spiritual formation tool. It's a key spiritual formation tool. And I don't know if we've ever used that specific terminology here at Cedar Creek, but I'm learning that the Sabbath is a key spiritual formation tool. And there are other key spiritual formation tools that we try to put into practice in our lives. One of those is we study Scripture. We make it our aim in our daily life to spend time in the Word of God, getting to know who God is through His written and revealed Word. That we spend time trying to learn about who He is and learn who we are and how we were created in His image. So a key spiritual formation tool is us spending time in the Word of God studying Scripture. Another key spiritual formation tool that many of us try to incorporate into our lives is prayer. We try to spend time talking to God. I mean, that's all that is we're communicating to Him and telling Him what's going on, telling Him what we're struggling with. We're just having communication with Him. And we find as believers that when we aren't doing those things, when we aren't spending time in God's Word, when we aren't spending time talking to Him, we're inhibiting our growth as believers. And so if we're not practicing those key spiritual formation tools, we're inhibiting our growth as believers. And so I've come to, through study and reading, to find this practice of Sabbath resting, working for 6 days and resting on the seventh, to be a key spiritual formation tool. It's a chance for me to grow closer to God, to understand myself better, and to see myself more as God sees me. But one thing we should probably note is just like studying Scripture, and just like prayer, and just like coming to church on Sunday morning, a Sabbath practice doesn't save us. A Sabbath practice doesn't save us, and it doesn't make us be viewed by God any differently. We are His kids, whether we're practicing key spiritual formation tools or not. But as his kids, we want to be growing closer to him. We want to get to know him more. We want to understand ourselves better. And we want to see ourselves in the way he sees us. And so the Sabbath will not save us. We don't want to turn it into some legalistic thing, some checklist that you have to knock off the list. But we do want to step into something like that so that we can rest in the Lord and we can form as believers more into his image. So let's not forget as we enter into what does a Sabbath practice look like that Jesus saves us, the Sabbath doesn't. That we are saved by grace through faith in him and not through some seventh-day resting practice. Not through studying scripture, not through prayer. Not through coming to church on Sunday or giving to the poor. They're all good things God calls us to do, but they don't save us. So, if the Sabbath is a key spiritual formation tool, if it is something that we can incorporate into our daily lives that will help us understand God better and understand who we are in Christ better, what does a Sabbath practice look like? Well, what we know from last week, God defines a day as a 24-hour period of time, and we know that he rested on the seventh day. So we know this idea of the Sabbath is this 24-hour period of time, and we saw the definition of Shabbat and Sabbath to be to stop, to rest, to contemplate, and delight. And so now those four descriptor words I just said, to stop, to rest, to contemplate, and delight, are what we're going to be looking at today. And we saw those in that root word, Shavath. But those four words I also saw as I was reading a book by Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Leadership, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And some of you ladies are currently going through Emotionally Healthy Woman, which is written by his wife. And I saw those four words, and they really were pretty compelling to sit and ponder and consider. I also saw those words, not outlined that directly, written in other books that I was reading, one of which called The Rest of God by Mark Buchanan, where he spends time working through how the Sabbath, when we incorporate a Sabbath practice in our life, all of the things we begin to learn on that day begin to bleed into the rest of our lives. And so we're going to be chewing through stop, rest, contemplate, and delight as four spheres of things for us to consider on the Sabbath. Now, in Christian history, we've seen the Sabbath often defined as Sunday, as today. And in Jewish tradition, we've seen it defined as Saturday, because Sunday is the first day of the week and Saturday is the last day of the week. But what we see in the New Testament is God isn't so much concerned about the specific day that we take, but rather that we take a day. That we take a day, that we remember it, and we keep it holy. And there's scripture in the New Testament that talks about that, and I would really love to go into that, but one of the dangers I have today is making today 2 hours long. So I don't want to do that to you guys. So we know that the Sabbath practice is a 24-hour day that we choose to keep on a regular weekly basis where we stop working, we rest, we contemplate, and we delight. And again, there's so much stuff I want to talk about, but let's just keep moving here. So the first thing is we stop. We stop working. We stop working. We stop doing all of those things that are on our checklists and our to-do lists, those things that are weighing on our shoulders, those things that we're really concerned with, that we know we need to get done, and we stop. And we see this in the fourth commandment. If you would, last week we looked at Exodus chapter 20. Turn your Bibles again today to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10. So Exodus 20, 8 through 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Now, when I read through this, you're not to do any work. I'm to stop working. When I look at those four spheres, stop, rest, contemplate and delight. Stop working, to me, is the easiest one to see. Like, okay, yeah, I'm not supposed to work. If I have a regular job, like a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or maybe I'm doing that 2 on, 3 off, 3 on, 3 off, weird rotation of 12s, or whatever it is, I'm supposed to stop doing that. If it's administration or management or construction or working in the hospital, whatever it is, I'm gonna stop doing that on this day. And it's also stop working in all those other ways that we find ourselves working. If you find mowing the lawn working, you stop doing that. You stop doing the dishes. You stop worrying about the laundry. And all of those things that are on our checklist, you know, as soon as you get home, you get done with the workday, there's all those other things that you need to work at and get done. And so we stop doing those things. We stop working in our day-to-day job, and we stop working around the home. And we can define that in more ways, but you and I were not designed as human beings to work nonstop. We were not designed to work nonstop. And I see it in American culture. We really value hard work, and that's good. We should be good and hard workers. But we weren't designed to work nonstop. I see it in my personal life. Matt and I were talking about this yesterday and the day before. That is just my inclination. I just don't want to stop. There's so much to do, and if I'm super efficient and manage my time, I can get it all done. No, I can't. I experienced this growing up. You work hard. You work hard. You rest when you're dead. I see this in the lives of people around me. They work exceptionally hard, and working hard is a good thing, but we get so wrapped up in that, we get addicted to producing. We get addicted to doing. We get addicted to working. And I'm guilty of this. And I don't think the idea of stopping to rest is really all that difficult of a concept for us to understand. Okay, I'm gonna stop working. But when we're addicted to it, when it's something it's just in our bones, we don't want to. It's uncomfortable. It's almost painful. We find it difficult to practice. Understand it, sure, but practice it, that's a whole nother thing. And so I see this everywhere I go. I see that we forget that we don't have to do it all. And what I see here in this idea of stopping our work is God asking us to take a belief that I think most of us have and move it from our heads into our hearts, into our actions. He's taking this belief that we have, belief in his sovereignty, that he really is in control and in charge of everything, and saying, hey, let me be in control and in charge of everything. I want you, saints, God wants us to understand that he's really in charge and also practice it. And our pride, my pride, makes us, we want to act as if we can do it all, we can accomplish it, we can get through that insurmountable checklist of things to do at work and at home and in our family and with our kids. And so our pride, we put ourselves on this throne and act as if we can actually accomplish those never-ending checklists. So practicing the Sabbath, where we stop working, is a day where we choose to not be God, to let God be God, be in control of it all, and say, I can't do it all, and I'm going to let you take this. I can't do it all, and I'm not even going to try. I'm going to stop. It's a day where we can reflect on his majesty, his power, and his glory, that he does hold it all together, and that we don't have to. Where we recognize he's bigger than we could even imagine, ever imagine. And it's humbling, knowing that if I stop and take a break and stop as he commands me to stop, it's going to work out. That it's going to work out. It's also a day where we can set aside our despair. I don't know if you're anything like me, you have a checklist of things to do at home. And I want to say last summer, it was probably 30 things. And there were 30 fairly large, you know, these are going to take some time things. And I've checked a lot of things off that list, but I think it's probably more in the 40 to 50 range now. It's like you check one thing off and then 2 to 3 more come up. And so it's an opportunity for us to set aside despair. I'm never going to get this all done. The house is going to fall down. No, it's not. And so we see our checklists, these things that we need to do, and we despair. I can't get it all done. And God, you're not going to do it. And, oh. And we make him lesser than he really is. We act as if he really can't hold our lives together and fix our problems and help us work through those things. And so it's a day for us not only to set aside our pride, humble ourselves, and put him on the throne in our lives, but it's also a day for us to not despair and exalt him to the position he should be. No longer making him lesser than he is. And so ceasing working, stopping, is humbling. It's humbling to us, and it tears down our pride and dethrones ourselves from our lives that we can do it all. And what this day does is it helps us cultivate this idea, this belief that God is sovereign in our lives from more than just head knowledge. It helps us move it into our actions and into heart knowledge. So we have to ask ourselves, what is work for us? Some of it's real obvious, that 9 to 5 that we do. But what else is work for us on the Sabbath day? Is it mowing the lawn? Is it doing the dishes? Picking up? I don't know. But we have to ask ourselves, what is work? And then stop doing that. Let God hold it together for that day. The second part of this sphere is this idea of rest. And we see the idea of rest laid out in the fourth commandment as well. We read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. We're going to quick read verse 11 here. He says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." And we also see in Genesis 2, 3, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So we see this concept of rest. So we're stop working. Okay, I think I get that. And I'm supposed to rest. And as I was studying this concept of rest and studying other books, and I learned a lot about this idea of rest. Sabbath, when we rest in God, Sabbath is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves that it is not our work that brings God satisfaction. That we can actually rest in being his children, and that his satisfaction in me is not based on all the things that I do throughout the week. That I don't have to wrap my identity up in what I've accomplished and what I've done and what I've succeeded in, but rather I can rest in the knowledge that I am his kid, and no matter how hard I worked or didn't work, I am still his kid. And he is still satisfied, and he still loves me, and he still wants to draw near to me, and I can rest in that relationship with God on the Sabbath day. I can set aside the work, and I can rest in him. We can rest in the knowledge that he's holding it all together. It's okay. That thing isn't done, and I'm going to let it stay undone. I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to rest in the knowledge that you are God. And so we have to, another way we rest is we have to ask ourselves, what do we find restful? What do we find refreshing? Is it fishing? Is it hunting? Is it wrenching on a car? Is it building something in your garage? Is it mowing the lawn of your favorite music or podcast? Or perhaps just your earplugs are in and you're listening to the hum of the engine and the whirling of the blades. Is that restful for you? Is it a hobby you've neglected for years because it's a waste of time? Is it sitting at a coffee shop around a table with your closest friends, sharing a cup of coffee, talking about what's going on through the week, sharing memories and laughs and enjoying each other's company? Is it taking a nap, playing a board game, strumming a guitar? I don't know, but what do you find restful and refreshing? And you can do that on this day. God gives us permission to do that on this day. But the Sabbath isn't just a time for us to have unchecked selfishness either. It's not a time made just for me where I can sinfully indulge and ignore a whole bunch of responsibilities that I may have, like I am a dad and I can't just ignore my children for 24 hours. I still have to be their dad. I will forever be their dad. But it isn't a time that we're just given a pass to sin and do whatever we want. God gives us some limits on what that looks like. One of the ways I think of that limitation is what I see in Deuteronomy, the second account of the Sabbath commandment. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14. We see here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14, But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. And pay attention to this last one here, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. That your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. So the Sabbath isn't just about me resting. It's about making sure others around me are also able to rest. So God gives me the commandment. Yep, I want you to stop working, and I want you to rest. I want you to do things that are restful and refreshing to you, but I also want you to make sure that the people around you are given the ability to do that as well. We also see this in Isaiah 58, 13 through 14, where it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure or business on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you will delight in the Lord. I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. See, the Sabbath isn't just about you and I doing just what we want to do. It's about also laying down our lives to the people around us. Not our taskmasters and our bosses and our work where we slave and toil all week, but to God and his people. It's a day for us to break out of our prison of our own selfishness and serve the people around us, to love them. And we're told in that Isaiah passage that we will find delight in the Lord when we follow him into that. We will find joy in the Lord. So the Sabbath day isn't just about my rest. It's about the rest of the people around me. And you may be sitting there wondering, okay, how do I help others to rest? What does that even look like? Well, I think one of the steps that we can take to try to accomplish that is ask ourselves who and what is in our sphere of influence around us what can we do to help other people rest? We can ask ourselves that question, and we can sit with God on the Sabbath day and ask him, what do you want me to do to help other people rest? And then sit with him and find out what that is. And then calling back to the message that we had a couple months ago where we talked about Mary's heart and Martha's hands, we step out and we do it with Martha's hands and with Mary's heart. And we help the people around us rest. And I don't know what that is, but maybe that's playing with your kids in the living room while your spouse takes a nap. I try to do that for my wife, where I'll take the kids and she'll go out to a coffee shop and I'll say, come back when you and the Lord have connected and you've taken some time and you feel rested in him. Maybe it's making a meal for your family because you're not the one who normally cooks. And have something different. Maybe it's burnt. But have something different. And give the other person an opportunity to take a break from that thing, to rest. Maybe it's coming to church on Sunday morning and serving in Sunday school, giving parents an opportunity to be refreshed by the message and fellowship that they get during the service. I don't know, but if you bend your ear and ask God and listen, I bet you he will tell you, okay, here's what you'll find restful, and here's what you can do to help those around you rest. So what is restful for you? What can you do to help others rest? Do that on the Sabbath day. The third thing is contemplate. And see, I'm already running long here. I was worried about that. The third thing is contemplate. The Sabbath is an opportunity for you and I to sit back and contemplate. And you're like, contemplate. What does that mean? Well, I think this practice of contemplation is an internal one. It's one that we sit and we think, we reflect. It's something we ought to do every day in our quiet times where we sit aside to study Scripture and talk to the Lord. We sit and contemplate and we reflect on ourselves. But we can do that especially on the Sabbath day. It's an opportunity for us to make a very focused effort to do that. So perhaps that looks like an extended quiet time, where you sit and you contemplate the truth of God. You study Scripture and you just pick a verse and you just chew on it. What do I mean by that? You just think about it. You repeat it in your head. You look into the Greek or the Hebrew. You see what the actual words meant to the original authors and consider it. Maybe it's taking the truth from like Hebrews 13:5, where it says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and really trying to put that into practice in my day, where I contemplate this idea that he is holding my hand while I'm standing here on the stage. He'll be holding my hand while I drive home today. He's going to be holding my hand when I play a role-playing game with my buddies, that he's with me everywhere. And so what I can do is contemplate that truth. And as I go throughout the day, I can simply acknowledge him as he's there with me. Hi, God. I don't always see it. I'm often blind to it, but God, you're with me right now. And I'm going to just stew on that. I'm going to contemplate on that on this day. And I'm going to make it a practice, a focused effort on this seventh day, so that as I go throughout the rest of the week, it becomes a more natural thing for me to do on the other 6 days. Not only can we contemplate God's truth and who he is, but we can contemplate and reflect on our own character. Who am I? I can start to pull those skeletons out of my closet and take a look at them and chew through them with the Lord, talk to him about them in prayer. Okay, so these are some character flaws that are cropping up and I want to ignore, but I'm going to choose on this day to really face them, to spend time studying it in Scripture, to spend time asking, Lord, how can I get better at this? I can ask myself honestly if I actually want to see myself change, if I want to see myself grow in the Lord, or if I just want to go about my week so busy that I don't have time, so distracted that I don't make an effort at growing in the Lord. So the Sabbath is an opportunity for us to contemplate. We contemplate God's truth. We contemplate our character. We contemplate our lives. We spend time, perhaps just an extended quiet time, an extended devotional with the Lord. One of the things I noticed as I studied the Sabbath, if you guys have read through the New Testament, Jesus is always sparring with the Pharisees about healing on the Sabbath. They're always fighting about it because he's always fixing somebody on the Sabbath day. And one of the things that says to me is that God is interested in restoring us on that day. He is interested in having us bring him those problems and helping us fix them. And so we can, on the Sabbath day, spend extra time contemplating his truth, pulling those things out of the closet, asking him, okay, what are my character flaws? And sit and be still before him and listen in this really loud and overwhelming world. The last thing that the Sabbath, this sphere, can be is delight. I'm going to delight on the Sabbath day. We are tremendously blessed in this country. We have stuff coming out of our ears, many of us. What has God blessed you with? Has he blessed you with food in your pantry that you can enjoy, shoes on your feet that keep them warm and protected, a roof over our head, insulation in our walls that keep us warm from this blistering cold? It's really not that bad. It was way worse last March, but... But we can delight in the blessings that God has provided us with. And we know that heaven in Scripture is going to be overwhelming bounty from the Lord. It's going to be overwhelmingly a blessing. And so, okay, I want to put this into practice, this idea of really delighting in that overwhelming bounty. Well, what can I do? Well, maybe our next meal on a Sabbath day, we prepare a feast. Make a whole turkey for you and your 3 kids, and just enjoy that blessing. Enjoy the utter extravagance of God and how he lavishes us with blessings and grace and mercy and love. This is something Mark talked about 2 weeks ago, that extravagance makes us uncomfortable, but our God lavishes us with so many things, and we have an opportunity on this day to really just delight in it and choose to set aside that uncomfortable feeling and be like, oh yeah, you gave me this. This is wonderful. And I am going to be thankful. How else can we delight? Other than just looking at our material blessings, we can get out and play. Play. I love that word, play. It is something I am not the greatest at, not feeling guilty about when I do it. We spend 6 days working in unbroken usefulness, utility. Everything's calculated and efficient. But God tells us on this day that we're allowed to play. In many places, Jesus tells us to be more childlike, to play, to take a break. I have found myself ultimately giving myself to the God of utility. That's how I'll describe it. The God of utility. That everything I do must have purpose. It must have meaning, and if it doesn't, it's a waste of time. It isn't something that I should have anything to do with. Do I believe I'm wasting time playing a board game when God asks me to? It's hard for me not to, because I could be doing something more productive. I have made that a God in my life, where everything had a calculated place, and anything that was outside of that calculated place was a useless waste of my time. I was taught this growing up. I was often asked, well, what you're doing right now, is that furthering your career? Is that going to make you money someday? Is that going to better your family? How does this have value in your life? And so as I got older, I started to see all of these things that we do that are fun to play as a waste of time and useless, and I allowed the God of utility, making everything have its purpose and place and being efficient, I allowed that to take hold and to reign. And as I studied the Sabbath, as I've been studying and trying to incorporate this, I'm learning that our God isn't just interested in unbroken usefulness. He wants us to sit and be his kids, to play while he's in control of it all, just like my kids can play Legos while I cook dinner and know they'll be provided for, know that they're going to have a roof over their head. I had to learn to stop, to find joy in playing, to rest in that concept. One of the things that I lost is I really love art. I absolutely love art. I always loved art growing up. It was something that made its way into my class curriculum. But as I got older, I think junior, senior year, I started to get rid of it. Didn't do any of it in college because I had this idea that it's useless. It's a waste of time. And for those of you who know me, I like painting little toy soldiers. Miniatures, as I call them. And I've learned that I just love color theory and art and seeing the visible color spectrum that God has put together and how he makes it work together. I was admiring, oddly enough, someone's face yesterday while I was talking to them because of the shades and hues of purples and grays and blues just from the ambient lighting in the room was falling on their face. I'm like, wow, God, your visible color spectrum is amazing. I had forgotten to draw, to sketch, to color, to doodle for the sake of doodling, to play. What is it you have forgotten? What is it that God has given you that you enjoy doing or you want to enjoy doing, but you've given over to the God of utility and laid down at his feet and said, well, that's a waste of time. It's useless. I don't have time for that. See, on the Sabbath day, we have the opportunity to delight. To delight in those blessings and the ways that he has wired you to play, to enjoy the blessings that he has given us. And so we have to ask ourselves, can we let our minds wander? Can we do art or work on that thing that we just love? Can you delight? Can you delight in God's blessing? Can you delight in his love for you? Can you delight in who he is? Gosh, there's so much more I want to talk about. those four spheres. Mark and I were working on this. I basically cut this thing in half and then again, and it was interesting. But what I wanted to do in these 2 weeks is introduce this idea of a Sabbath practice and show in Scripture how God has woven this into our being, that we're not made to work 7 days and repeat, but we're made to work six and then rest in Him on the seventh, that we are made for this rhythm of life that includes resting, And so before I close here, let's quickly summarize what we talked about last week and we talked about this week. We talked about how we are called to practice the Sabbath, that we need it, that we were built for it, that God wove it into creation, that you and I were built to take a break. We talked about how the Sabbath is a key spiritual formation tool. It doesn't save us. It doesn't make God love us anymore. But it helps us grow closer to Him and understand Him better and know Him more fully. We talked about how it's a 24-hour period of time that we set aside on a weekly basis. We do this regularly. And then today we spent the majority of our time working through how it's an opportunity for us to stop working, to rest and allow others to rest, to contemplate Him, His truth, our character, who we are, pull things out of the closet and address them, let Him heal us. And we can delight. We can delight in His blessings. We can delight in the things that He's made us to enjoy, to play. We can have a feast and just enjoy His extravagance, His lavish love for us. So after these 2 weeks, what I hope God has been doing in our hearts is that He's giving us a desire to seek Him on this topic and ask Him, what is it that I'm supposed to do with this? And so I would like to encourage you, if God is stirring your heart, to put into practice this idea of a Sabbath, a rhythm of rest into your life, that you seek Him on that. That you spend time pursuing Him in Scripture, pursuing Him in His written word, pursuing Him in prayer and asking, okay, God, how do I do this? How do I rest in You? Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for this truth, the truth of the Sabbath, the truth of rest, the truth that You love us, that my identity isn't in work. My identity is in You and who You've created me to be. And I just pray that all of us are able to rest in You and all of us are able to find those things in You, God. So pray that You do a mighty work in our hearts as we go through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.